I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Always nice when we have a guest in studio, and this guy was a hell of a player, won a championship with the Steelers, 10 years in the NFL with them, a couple of years with my Jets, got us right to the brink. We were talking about that during the break, finished up with the Cardinals, got a nice little payday there before he suddenly mosey out. And I'm going to put, now he's got, it's rum, right? He's got, yep. If the LSU Tigers, which is where you went to school, as we all know, yep. If they don't win tomorrow, you better pound this whole thing and put it up on social media. If you guys don't win this year, you guys are never going to win.
I don't know about that. I don't know if social media wants to see that.
Yeah.
How you doing, man? Welcome
doing
to the show.
Doing good, man. Thanks for having
good
me, guys.
To have you,
yeah,
Alan.
This is great. Now,
Alan
when you Fanica. Were in college, it was different. Alabama was good, but not dominant.
Right.
Like they have been over the last decade or so. I think they've won 8 in a row is the streak.
Yeah.
But I was just reading this. You beat them 27-0 your senior year. Who was the coach?
For me, Jerry DiNardo.
DiNardo was your coach. Yeah. Who was Alabama's coach?
Gene Stallings.
Wow.
Yeah, back memories, right?
Not good ones for them.
No, back in the day.
So you still keep tight with the program down there in LSU?
I do, man. I always got my ear to the ground and keeping up.
Yeah. Now, Samter just told me, my producer, that you were committed to Alabama originally.
Ooh, and then LSU gave him more money.
And then you flipped. Why'd you flip?
I did, man. So they were fresh off that national title, maybe 92, something like that. So everybody was walking around with the big rings, and I was like, man, I'm going to get one of those.
Wow.
And made my decision the night before signing, woke up, and was like, what am I doing? You know, in high school, you put things, posters and stuff on the wall. And I had at least 20-something LSU things hanging in my room, and I was about to go to Alabama. And I said, man, I'm screwing up.
Yeah.
Wow. And,
so you were an LSU fan. And then you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So born and raised in New Orleans, man. I was meant to go
there. Yeah,
you have
to be.
Yeah, yeah. So I had a little mental lapse there and straightened it out.
How good is Joe Burrow?
Man, he's pretty good right now, right?
I mean,
he's doing the right things, man. He's making the right decisions, which I think is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
This is an odd way to frame it. What would be more impactful if LSU wins? Like, would the LSU fans enjoy a win more than the Alabama fans would be crushed by a loss? Which is more meaningful, a more meaningful part of the equation?
For sure. I mean, they've done it, right? They've been doing it, right? It would be their first, maybe, you know, little hiccup or disappointment, you know, in a long time. So they'll bounce back. They'll be okay.
I'm rooting for you guys, by the way. I'm not ashamed. I have nothing against Alabama. Great respect for their program, of course. I want to see LSU win this game.
I really do. I'm calling the game, so I can't.
Yeah, he's calling the game.
All right,
I can't pick a side. Yeah, I'm doing it for Compass Media, so I'll be down there. Now you're partnering with Bayou Rum, and there's a bar. I don't know this bar. It's in
Legends
New York.
Bar,
Legends
yeah.
Bar. I don't think I've ever been there. It's an LSU bar. And so what are you doing with the promotion with the rum?
We're going to have a watch party tomorrow and just going to be lots of Bayou Rum being going around.
Oh,
and hopefully
crazy.
A lot of celebrating.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. This is a 3:30 Eastern kick. So I know people get their little Bloody Mary around 11 in the morning, start easing into the day. That place is going to be a nut house.
It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time.
We're talking to Alan Fanica, who's with us here in studio. Terrific, distinguished NFL career. Let's transition from LSU to Alabama. 10 years with the Steelers, a couple with the Jets, finished up with the Cardinals here. What is it like to go through life as a Super Bowl champion Steeler? Like, what does that mean to you? You'll walk around like that for the rest of your life. What does that mean?
Man, you know, it's amazing to have done that, right? To be able to slip the ring on and relive those memories. It's something you hold on to forever, man.
Yeah. What's it, you know... You were only Tomlin, right? Were you with
Mike's first year was my last year.
Oh, so you were all Cowher.
All Cowher for 9 years and one with Coach Tomlin.
Interesting.
Cowher, he's the best.
He is the best.
He's a maniac.
So the transition, it's interesting because they're both highly successful coaches. I mean, Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season, which is nuts to even to think about.
Right.
But the difference between the two coaches, is there one?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, Coach Cowher is a little more old school in the thought of, you know, serious, put your nose down, get your work in. Coach Tomlin's a little more looser, tries to get the best out of guys in that manner. And, you know, things are definitely a little bit looser around the locker room and the team. But at the same time, it's about business and getting the same job done.
Yeah, let me ask you about the end for Cowher. When it was over, did it feel like it needed to be?
No, not at all. Not at all, man. I think, you know, there was lots of talk during the season, but when it happened, I don't think, you know, we were all a little surprised.
Yeah, because it feels like that same kind of conversations are happening with Mike Tomlin, and they have been for a couple of years. You think it's not time to move on from Mike Tomlin, is it?
No, I don't think so, man. I don't, you know, you hear the rumblings, but I think, I mean, I got to just think he's happy there. I mean, you got ownership that believes in you and does anything you want.
I agree.
And, but I don't think we doubt if he's happy. I think the question is, are people still happy that he's coaching the team?
But I think people are, they overblow some of the failings.
Yeah. He stabilized the season like a good coach would.
Exactly.
This could have been a 3-13
season. This is why I've always
season.
Loved him, because you're right.
No doubt about it.
I mean, they're 1-4. They were headed towards oblivion.
Yep. And three quarterbacks they played this year.
That's right.
Their starting running back got hurt. Their star wide receiver was with the Raiders, then with the Pats, then out of football. I mean, what he's dodged has been nothing short of miraculous. I've always liked Mike Tomlin. I did think, to be fair, that I thought maybe the expiration date was nearing, but the way he stabilized this season, I'd have to think he still has that locker room, which obviously is a good sign. You don't make six, not Pro Bowls, all pros without being a stud, obviously. But there had to be somebody that you lined up against and you said, man, this guy, whether it's technique, whether it's speed, whether it's sheer, you know, power, who was the guy that just gave you a rough time?
So twofold, just a mountain of a man and hard to move and hard to get anything done with was Haloti Ngata.
Okay.
With the Ravens when I was playing. I mean, just a grown man.
Yeah. Just heavy.
Yeah, just heavy. Big, heavy hands and played hard and had lots of skill. And the other guy is Warren Sapp, man. And he made you change the way you played the game. Everything about offensive line is repetitiveness, doing the same thing. You know, you could talk to one offensive lineman, they probably do almost the same thing for 16 games. Guess what? You can't do that against Warren. You can't do it because you're going to get beat and you're going to look silly.
Yeah.
So starting on Tuesday when you get in, you better get in and start practicing and getting ready. You got to change the whole way you play there. You're going to play guard like you play tackle, but at the same time, you can't get you can't give up space because you're right in front of the quarterback. You got to change the way you play your game to play.
Yeah, how do you do that in middle of the season? Because I know what you're talking about. Warren Sapp, like, by rights, he could have been a DN. He wasn't. Yeah. He was a tackle because he was so athletic. He's like Aaron Donald now. Aaron Donald is so fast interiorly, it's impossible to block him one-on-one. He's either going to, you know, run inside of you or just game you or whatever it's going to be. How do you do that midweek?
Man, you know, my first thing I did is I either called him if I couldn't get a hold of him, but, you know, you always had the same core, like, practice squad guys or the scout team.
That's right.
And I pulled that guy aside and I said, you're going to work this week. I need you to work. This isn't any, you know, one, two, three steps.
Yeah.
I need work from you this week, and, you know, I'll take care of you on the back end, but we're gonna work, and that's what I did.
I like that.
I love that, too, man. Alan Fanick is with us here. You look around the league now, Big Ben, obviously, you know, the issue with the elbow. He'll come back next season, though. Everybody anticipates that. Drew Brees in his 40s, Brady in his 40s. I mean, you watch the NFL now, it's obviously a very different game from the rules, from body types, but does it seem as different to you? I mean, I would imagine it has to, as it seems to us, or at least somebody who didn't play the game.
I mean, it does. I mean, you know, you watch a game, or I watch a game now, and, you know, it feels from watching the game itself, like you said, I mean, if, like an eternity has evolved between the way the game was played as I left and as it is now. It's completely different.
Does it seem easier or harder? If you were playing now, would your job be easier or tougher?
I think it would be easier. I mean, I think it would be easier a little bit.
Yeah,
quarterbacks
don't hold the ball as long.
Not holding the ball, get the ball out. I mean, it's all about timing, get it going. And, I mean, that's easy. I love that.
An interesting follow-up to that, because a lot of people have asked me about offensive linemen coming from the college game, which is so, like, quick. It's like, let's run 90 plays in a college game. That's what it feels like these days. And the linemen have to hold for 2.5 seconds, maybe. They get into the NFL, It's a completely different ball game. Yeah. How different is it to go from college, at least the college that we see now, and to an NFL, you know, scheme or skill set that doesn't seem to be developed in college like it used to be?
It's got
to
be a wake up call, right?
It is.
It's a wake up call. I mean, it's a whole nother ball game. You know, you get there in college and, you know, 11 guys are staring at the coach on the sideline, you know, coach, make my decision for me, you know, get me into the right play. And,
right.
You know, all of a sudden you're up in the NFL, you know, you're making your own decisions. You got a grown man on top of you. You don't get to hold it for 2 seconds and the ball's gone. So it's a different world.
Yeah. No, I think the college game is starting to move into the NFL game. Do you like seeing that?
In parts, you know, it's different. You know, it's not the game, you know, that we play.
Yeah.
It is different. But, you know, I think, like you said, I mean, you're also the product we're putting out on the field in the NFL now is, you know, the system you're coming from, right? So that's what college has given us.
True.
So that's what you kind of almost have to work with.
I don't know how these running backs do it, sitting side saddle all the time, because I needed to be downhill. I needed to see the whole thing.
Right.
I couldn't look at half of it. And then, because if I want to go back there, and I got to look here, there's no way I'm making it.
Yeah.
You're coming downhill, you can make a decision. And it's just easier that way.
No,
it's harder now.
Yeah, I believe that.
Think you could have opened a few holes for this guy?
Yeah. What was your playing weight?
About 320.
Jeez. Now you are?
235.
Jeez.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You look great.
Thank you.
When's the next marathon?
Not yet. Not anytime soon.
You got one on the resume, right?
I got one.
Four, though.
One.
He broke four.
He broke four.
That was my goal.
How are you
going
to let this big guy? Come on, man. I mean, I can't do it, so I can't get on.
Physiology.
But how is this guy going to beat you in the marathon? No disrespect, Alan.
Tell me, we only have like 30 seconds here, but did you track your heart rate when you were running? Did you ever track it?
Yeah.
And so what was your max heart rate when you were running?
My max heart rate.
Was it like 150 or was it like 180?
No. Yeah, in the 50s, 150s.
See, this is why. My max heart rate
jacks up
when I get to like mile 15.
You gotta take an aspirin before you start running.
I don't think it's that. My resting heart rate's like I'm dead. I'm like 52. It's just when I start running.
Find something in the middle.
That's tough.
Hey, listen, you did it, which is awesome.
Legends Bar, right? Legends Bar in New York. You'll be serving the Bayou rum. Lots of it, I'm assuming, especially if LSU wins.
Oh my God.
Probably more if LSU loses. Good luck to your Tigers this weekend. I'll be down there.
Get it done, man. Beat Alabama, will you?
We'll do it. I'll make the call.
Yeah. Alan Faneca, good seeing you, man. Good
Thanks,
seeing
Bayou
you.
Bayou Rum.
Six-time All-Pro, Alan Faneca.
Can we practice in the break?
God, no, I wish he was protecting Sam Darnold right now. Bring back Damian Woody from ESPN. Get Brandon Moore. Get Brick. Get Mangold. If Darnold had that offensive line, we wouldn't be going through this mess, that's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.